Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we'll begin at verse 30, and we'll read as far as verse 37. Mark 9, beginning at verse 30. Pay attention, this is God's holy and infallible word. From there they went out and began to go through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know about it. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later." But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearing this evening. Well, three points and a point of application. 3 points and a point of application to help us think through this. First of all, in verses 30 to 32, we see Jesus is our true deacon. Jesus is our true deacon. Our salvation is found in these very words. And our salvation is this, that our God was willing to humbly give himself as the obedient servant over to death in order to accomplish the rescue of sinners. A deacon or a servant functions as an intermediary, a mediator, a peacemaker, an intercessor, one who represents another and on their behalf serves someone else. One who represents one and serves another. That is a servant. And that's really that familiar word, servant or deacon, in the New Testament. And Jesus is our true diakonoi. He's our true servant. Jesus did many things in his service to his Father to show God's love for the world. You can think of many different examples. Let me just say this one. Jesus is our good Samaritan. He demonstrates really the heart of a servant in the way that he, as he comes to the enemies of God, and he picks us up and he dusts us off and he carries us to a place of rest and healing. He takes care of our sickness. He takes care of our cuts and bruises. He takes care of the ways in which we have been beaten down, not only by the world and the devil, but even by our own sin. Christ is the true deacon. There was never a deacon like Jesus who declared himself, "I am among you as the one who serves." And as well, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Christ was a deacon in that he gave himself as a ransom for many. You see here in verse 31, he was teaching his disciples. He was telling them, "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later." Jesus is the true deacon who veiled his glory under the form of a slave, who, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death on a cross. It says in verse 32, they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. You notice the response of the disciples. Fear. Why? Why are they afraid? Because no one wants to appear dumb. No one wants to appear ignorant. No one wants to admit that they don't know everything. Now look, the scriptures are clear and the proverbs are clear. Sometimes that it's actually the wise one who doesn't open his mouth. Right? But it also says that they were afraid to ask. You may not open your mouth, and that's a good thing to show that actually you don't know something, but you should never be afraid to ask. And the reality is that we're all ignorant. We all lack understanding. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the knowledge. In fact, we probably have more questions, or at least more things that we don't know than things that we do. All of us. Except for Jesus. And so we need Jesus' words. We need His guidance. We need His patience. And we need His body, the church. He's given to us one another. And so Jesus, as the true deacon, He has served us in with His life and with His death. And we see then, as the text continues, secondly, that Jesus gives a lesson about true deaconship. Jesus gives a lesson about true servanthood in verses 33 to 35. Maybe they don't understand what Jesus is talking about because it seems so contrary to their natural inclinations to give your life up for others. Look what it says in 33. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. What were you discussing on the way? And children, you notice their response. They're quiet. It's like when there's something going on in the other room, and maybe you're fighting with your brother or sister, or you're having an argument, or something's going on, and your parents walk in and they say, "What's going on?" And no one wants to say anything. Well, why were they silent? Because on the way, they had a discussion about which one of them was the greatest among them. Who's the best? Notice that they weren't afraid to boast about themselves outside of what appeared to be the earshot of Jesus. But more shocking than that, they're having this discussion about who's the greatest among themselves right when they just heard the gospel proclamation about Jesus, who's going to give his life up for his people. See, they're standing in the midst of the greatest one, and they can't see it. They're talking among themselves. Who's the greatest among them? Now, we should give them some of the benefit of the doubt, because we as disciples of Jesus need the benefit of the doubt too. The context was probably because they heard that Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem and die. Maybe that they were arguing over who was going to best protect Jesus, who would be there with him. I'm the greatest. I'll go with him wherever he goes. You've heard Peter say this in another context. I'll even die with you. You see, but part of the problem is that these men want recognition before they even serve. They're willing to further put down others so they can stand out or stand on top. And Jesus says it's time for a lesson about servanthood. So verse 35, sitting down, he called the 12 and he said, and actually, you see there's a little star there. He said, our NASB, they'll put stars whenever the verbs are in a continuing motion. Meaning that this is not, like Jesus didn't say this once. He there was a discussion going on, and he kept explaining to them in different ways. That's what it means here. So he's continued to say to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, no one understands this from personal experience the way that Jesus himself understands this from personal experience. Here is the one who was in the highest of highest places. And what did he do? If anyone was to be first, it was him. And yet he put himself last of all, servant of all, in the lowest place. His life demonstrated that he really believed and lived as if God were the center of his life and as if other people were the center of his life. You know, there's a passage in Philippians 2 that says this, you should be considering one another more important than yourselves. And if you don't understand that, then know that you have the mind of Christ. And what that tells us is that Christ considered other people more important than himself. There was nobody more important in that room than Jesus Christ. There's nobody more important on that road than Jesus Christ. And yet he himself considered everybody else in that room more important than him. He's a true deacon. And he's telling them, look, if you want to be in a place of recognition, if you want to receive God's affirmation, you need to be last. You need to be a servant to everyone. Not only was Jesus our Good Samaritan, Jesus was our feet washer. John 13. What is he doing? He's bringing his disciples and around, and he ungirds himself. He takes off his garment and he puts on the garment of a servant, and he bends down with a towel and the bowl, and he washes their feet. And he's teaching them something about his incarnation, his taking off of his glory, and his putting him on the form of a servant and bending down and washing their feet. And you remember the conclusion, like the punchline of the whole thing. Do you understand what I just did for you? Now, I want you to go and do the same thing to others. In the same way that I served you, you go and serve others. Because I'm the master and you are the students. And you know that the ones who are sent is not greater than the one who sends them. And if I've brought myself to the lowest place for you, you put yourself in the lowest place as well for others. So that means that Jesus, our true deacon, calls us to be deacons. He calls us to be servants. It's an amazing thought that our God served us. The Master served us in both His living and His dying for us. And we did not deserve it. But that did not stop him from freely and graciously and lovingly serve us. And in response, as followers and disciples of Jesus, we are called to imitate his humble service. First, loving and serving God. And because we belong to the Lord, every Christian being a deacon, every Christian functioning as an intermediary, representing Jesus on his behalf, is to love and serve others. And that brings us to our third point. Jesus gives an illustration for true deaconship, for true servanthood, in verse 36 and 37. Jesus takes a child into his arms, and he says, verse 37, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. Now, this is not a call to be like a child or have faith like a child. That's a different lesson that he gave to his disciples. This is a call to receive others like a child, to receive children and to receive others like children. to welcome and embrace and even prefer children. You see, that this is a call to humble yourself to such a degree that you would even be a servant to children. Parents have to serve their kids. But this goes beyond that. It's saying for you to willingly and humbly serve other people, even if they're the people that you might have the least in common with. I mean, anybody hang out with kids for a while? There's only so many things you can talk about. There's only so many things you can actually go and do together. It really causes the adult, in many ways, to be patient and to humble themselves. And that's not to belittle one another, it's just simply to say this. Are you willing to put yourself in a place of service to one another, even to children? This is the mindset we are to have. This child that Jesus brings into the circle represents all of the children of God, all of the church, and all of her diversity. So we are to not just fellowship with those who assist you or serve you or who value you. You're not just to fellowship with those who have similar interests as you or similar opinions as you. You're not to just fellowship with those who can carry on a conversation, quote-unquote, at your level. You are to receive all people the way that Jesus would receive this child. And what this does is it highlights the nature of the church. It highlights the communion of the saints. That we are the body of Christ and we live together. We are receiving, or I should say this, receiving a child of God is to receive Jesus himself. That's what he says here. Even receiving the least brother or sister is to receive Almighty God. Well, with that, let me move us to a point of application. Tonight we are electing people to the office of servant. The qualifications are found in 1 Timothy 3, which says, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So those are the qualifications. Secondly, it is a spiritual office. Those who hold this office of deacon are not to act alone in service, but they are to administrate the church. They are to persuade the church. They are to lead and promote the whole church in the stewardship of God's resources for both mercy as well as presence in our community. And thirdly, and this is probably the most important point, no one meets these qualifications perfectly. None. But we must understand that the standard for the Christian is not perfection, for that is Christ's standard alone to bear and to fulfill. But the standard for the Christian is faith and repentance in both life and love. Ultimately, the service of the deacon is to lead us to the service and the love of Jesus Christ. Just one chapter later, Jesus will say this. In Mark 10:42, calling his disciples to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to die as a ransom for many." So may the Lord give us grace to live in service of Jesus Christ, to imitate his service, to lead others to his service and love. And may he bless us in our elections this evening to those called to serve him in his church as deacons. Let us pray.